Welcome, welcome to the Encourage Project. I'm Amy Fairchild, and it is a beautiful autumn day here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, USA. And I'm so excited that you're joining us. Thank you for being a part of this community, and thank you for supporting the Encourage Project podcast. I'm so grateful for that. If you're new to the show, check us out in social. Go to Instagram and find us at the_encourage_project. We'd love to have you join the conversation. And as a reminder, so there's a course coming out in October, starts October 19th, new year now. Everything you need to clarify your vision and perhaps even really discover your purpose is going to be in this 3-night course. All the tools and support that you need to tackle your own human project, there's still room. So sign up. You can find out more about it at theencourageproject.com. Go there, click on the big red banner. It gives you all the details. And if you have questions, you know, there's a place on the website too to set up a curiosity session, and those are free. So go click the button and set up time to talk with me. I'd love to talk with you about it. Even more than that, I'd love to see your happy faces when we start October 19th. So go check that out. Let's jump into today's episode. So today's guest, like a lot of the guests on the show, I discovered through some Instagram stalking. I don't even know how this person came into my universe, but I noticed that he had some really interesting work that he was doing. He had a really interesting energy, and I just kind of started following along what he was doing, and I was really curious. And so I sent him a note. I'm like, dude, I like what you're doing. I think my community would love to hear about it. Would you come talk to us? And he said, yes. Like, yes, random stalker, I will come talk. So here we are. Today, I have Ryan Montes. He is a licensed private investigator in Canada. So I'm in the US. He's in Canada. I'll let him tell you more about that. He spent the first part of his career really digging deep into mysteries in order to uncover truth behind the veil of confusion and misinformation. He then went on and became a soldier with the Canadian Forces. And through those experiences, he really sharpened his skills at understanding and applying specific proven processes to really accomplish important goals and missions. And today, he uses that unique mix of that experience and training to create transformational change in the lives of others through his certification program in hypnosis and NLP. And I'll have him tell you more about that. This is actually what really fascinated me about Ryan, taking things that he had done in a previous career and applying them in new and different and creative ways. And I was just so thrilled when he said he would join us today. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce the Encourage Project community to Ryan Montes. Welcome.
Oh, Amy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm very, very excited to be here. And thank you for that lovely introduction.
You're welcome. I'm happy you're here. And in Canada, we were talking before we started, you're starting to get that lovely autumn weather up there and stuff too. It just makes me happy.
Yes, it is starting to be autumn. The leaves are just starting to change. I can look out my window here and see like 93% green and then 7% orange, red, yellow, approximately.
I love the precision, 93%.
Yes. I want to really paint that precise picture in your mind, Amy.
I love that so much. My left brain is very happy about that. So tell us a little bit about your life and who you are outside of work. And then I want to dig into the stuff the meaty stuff.
Yeah. So a little bit about my life. You know, you covered a lot of it there in the intro. I used to be a private investigator. So I'm retired from that world now. I'm no longer. I let the license expire and all that stuff. But I did that for a number of years. You know, I specialized in corporate investigations, and I was actually a field surveillance operative. So my job was to spy on people. I would follow people around. I would do stakeouts. I would have covert surveillance equipment, hidden cameras, all kinds of really kind of neat stuff, right? And I learned a lot about finding out the truth, you know, and about the difference between what is presented as real and what is actually real, right? Which has served me, you know, infinitely since leaving that industry, of course. After that, as you mentioned, I was with the Canadian Army for about 5 years. I was trained as a combat soldier, although I was not deployed during that time into combat. So while I was, you know, technically it was my job to do what was called armored reconnaissance, I wasn't deployed into combat. So most of my time was spent training and, you know, here in Canada and doing different things locally or domestically, I guess you might say. But again, incredible learning experience. And, you know, themes of how do people do what they need to do, right? And you know, this big question, if somebody else has done something really well before, shouldn't I be able to as well? And, you know, in military training, it really is, you know, the answer to, you know, based around the answer to that question. Let's take what the best soldiers in our history have done and teach it to the new guys and gals so they can do it too. And so, you know, moving into, you know, what I'm doing now, there's a lot of correlation there around that theme specifically. But to respect your question that you initially asked, I think you said, mention a little bit about outside of work. I love travel. I live in Canada. I just recently moved from one of the largest provinces in Canada, Ontario, to another large province in Canada, Quebec. I love both of them. I have lived and worked in both at various times throughout my life. And so now I'm back in Quebec and happy to be here. I'm currently studying French. I'm looking forward to being able to travel to Europe once again someday, hopefully soon. And I love studying the unconscious mind and the subconscious mind.
Wow. That's all. I love that. And it must be quite different going from going into Quebec. As I understand, it's like you're studying French. So it's primarily French speaking, as I understand. And it's to some outsiders, it can feel like a different world compared to the rest of Canada.
Absolutely. I mean, technically, it's primarily French speaking, but there are parts where there is, you know, more predominance of English. You know, in the town that I live in now, they're pretty much everybody speaks English. But, you know, I love learning. I love learning new things. And hey, I live in Quebec now. May as well learn, you know, polish up on my French.
There you go. So let's talk a little bit about what you do now. So you do, I mentioned in the intro, NLP, which if I remember correctly, is neuro-linguistic programming.
Yes.
And also hypnotherapy, if I said that correctly. Tell us a little bit about what those things are. And then I want to talk about how you do what you do. And I have a whole bunch of other questions, but tell us a little bit about what those are.
Very, very good. Yeah. You know, as I mentioned, you know, my life leading up to where I am now has been a lot about modeling excellence, really modeling excellence. When you're a soldier, you know, it's a lot about modeling excellent soldier skills so that you can be excellent too. And, you know, when I was an investigator, it was a lot about figuring out what was going on behind the scenes. And so, you know, today with hypnosis and NLP, I mean, really what these are tools for reprogramming our own minds, our own neurology, to bring our minds and our neurology and our behavior into alignment with what it is we want in life. And, you know, here's the good news. Pretty much anything anybody could ever want in life, somebody's already done it. Somebody's already achieved it. Somebody's already figured out how to do it.
Yes.
And so the easiest way to, you know, do it is instead of reinventing the wheel, instead of figuring everything out on our own, instead of, you know, fighting to achieve results, basically fighting and crawling through the dirt and the mud to achieve results, just figure out what other people have already figured out, done well, and model their excellence, you know, model their success. And, you know, NLP and hypnosis are two sides of the same coin. And the coin is, you know, installing those thought processes, installing those strategies, installing all that good wisdom and experience into our own mind or into our client's mind, in the case of, you know, my students, in as fast a manner as possible. It's all about efficiency and using a means of communication to communicate with what we would call our subconscious or our unconscious mind, to get that programming in there as fast as possible. Right.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's kind of a high level overview of the sort of purpose of hypnotherapy and NLP. And to be a little bit more specific about what they are, basically hypnosis and hypnotherapy and NLP are a means of communication with our subconscious mind such that, you know, we can make changes to the subconscious. And as I said, to bring all that programming that's happening under the surface into alignment with what we want in life. So we can, you know, much more easily and rapidly you know, get what we want and potentially, you know, potentially more importantly, overcome the stuckness or overcome the pain or overcome the unresolved stuff that had been preventing us from doing so.
Wow. I have a lot of things I want to ask about that. And before I do, What was it that led you on this evolution from having been a private investigator to having been in the military? What problem did you see needed to be solved? Or what was there a specific event or something that prompted you to go, hey, I can serve people in a different way, using some things that I know, and also I can supplement it with these other modalities? How did that happen? I mean, that's a dramatically different shift from what you'd done previously, obviously.
Yes, it was a dramatically different shift sort of from the outside. From the inside, it was sort of a long time coming, because the career in investigations, the career in military for me was all about personal development. You know, when I was a young man, I had a lot of opportunities for growth, meaning I had a lot of problems, right? you know, I had lots of sadness and fear, and I was very shy, and, you know, somebody might have labeled me somebody with social anxiety, or, you know, different things like that. And so, you know, I mentioned earlier, there's a difference between getting results and reprogramming our unconscious mind quickly and fighting and crawling through the mud and the dirt to get results. And I did that for a long, long time, because I didn't know about all the tools. I didn't know about how rapidly people can transform their lives. So I spent, you know, much of my life fighting and struggling to overcome my own limitations, my own, you know, unhelpful programming, I would now refer to it as. And, you know, being an investigator, being a private detective, and being in the military were like huge steps in just literally forcing myself out of my own comfort zone. You know, yeah. I tell people, you can get out of your comfort zone figuratively, or you can get out of your comfort zone literally. Right? Like, right. And I think it's great to do both. And I did that, and it helped me grow. And then, you know, after all those years of, you know, slow and hard development, and sort of passively studying the unconscious mind all along the way, and passively, you know, learning about those things as a hobby, I left the military and I was ready to start a new business, ready to go on to the next chapter. But I decided, you know, hypnosis and the unconscious mind and neurolinguistic programming, NLP, all these things have helped me so dramatically kind of behind the scenes that I've been going through and fighting these other battles, so to speak. What if I jump in and dive into that a little bit further and explore it a little bit more and a little bit more thoroughly? And so after I left the military, I put down some money, and I put down some time, and I put down some energy. And I went and I took formal training with a real live master trainer of NLP and hypnosis and some other stuff, just as a means of, again, self-improvement. By that point, I had had two very complex and sometimes difficult careers that brought with them their own challenges and pains and painful memories and all these things. And so I wanted to resolve that, because I knew that was going to be an issue moving forward. And I wanted to really give myself, you know, a boost before I started into the next chapter. And the boost that I got and the transformation that I got from, you know, these properly learning these tools of hypnosis and NLP with a real instructor, as opposed to reading books and listening to audiobooks for 10 years plus, was just insane. It was just, it blew my mind. My life was, you know, transformed, changed. You know, it was like I was living on a different planet when I came out of this experience. And it was just a 7-day training that I took in NLP and hypnosis. And it was at that point that I realized, wow, ay caramba, this is so much more than I thought it was. That, you know, literally I'm a different person. All of my problems are gone. You know, not that I want to make grandiose claims, this is not a magic pill or, right, you know, or a silver bullet, but it was enough that I knew, okay, I need to now explore this even more and get myself in a position where I can share this with other people that need it. Because there are, you know, you and I both know there are a lot of people that have or still have opportunities for growth, right? Yeah. Out there, or, you know, stuff that they want to overcome or goals that they've been trying to reach that they haven't, and there's no good reason for it, right? And,
yeah,
you know, I think these tools and other tools like hypnosis and NLP really are the shortcut. You know, life is short. Let's get results quickly mm-hmm. as we can, right?
Wow. I love that story. And I love how it was kind of your own growth journey and not just a, hey, let me just do this for a living. It was really experiential for you first and then applying it in a different way. You know, people have often asked me, well, how did the Encourage Project come to be? And it was very similar. I had a career of 25 years in project and program management, running big things for big companies. And then woke up one day, I'm like, you know, why are we not applying these kinds of techniques and tools to things like learning how to date or buying a house or things that nobody ever teaches us how to do. And so on my own similar growth journey, I'm like, hey, I can apply this in a different way. And I can teach people how to move mindset through action and that kind of thing. And so I love hearing stories like that, where you took something that was already a part of you and you applied it in a different way through your own growth. I just love that. Talk a little bit about how what you do, because you kind of alluded to it, and I wish I could remember the exact words, but you'd read a lot of books and you'd done some stuff, right, for years. But this specific approach really dramatically changed you. Talk a little bit about how what you are doing is different than, say, the average person who says a mantra 10 times a day in trying to change mindset, behavior in life.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and I'm the living, walking embodiment of that. I treated self-development and personal development and personal growth as a hobby for a number of years. And I got the results that a hobbyist would get. So there was growth, there was development. I wouldn't be the person I am today if I hadn't, you know, had that experience. However, having now done it in every way you can imagine, I've, you know, done self-development, personal growth from you know, the very independent, viciously independent model of reading books and, you know, and trying to figure it all out on my own and vehemently refusing to pay more than $20 for a resource at any given moment, to the very other end of the spectrum where, you know, I've invested big money and big time in trainers and, you know, and gone to immersion trainings where you're, you know, you stay on a resort with all the students and the trainers and no one leaves for, you know, 3 weeks and all this stuff. And, you know, and the funny thing is, you know, you really, really, really do get back what you put in. You really, really do get back what you put in. When I was treating it like a hobby and I was treating it like this passive thing, reading the books, you know, putting in marginal time, money, and energy, I got back marginal, you know, results. When I dove into the deep end and I invested a significant amount of time, money, and energy, basically, you know, I got out massive results, right?
Yeah.
And I've been able to build success and get results and ultimately now build a company at a rate and ease that is largely unheard of in the world. And really, it's not because I'm, you know, better than anybody else, or it's not that I won the lottery or something like that. It's just that I passed that, you know, sort of point of no return where I realized, you know, almost everything, at least energetically, is an investment. What you put in, you're going to get back. And if you're reluctant or you're hesitant or you only want to dip your toes in the water, your results moving forward are going to reflect that, at least in my experience, in my opinion, and in the experience and opinion of every wise person I've personally encountered.
Yes, so much yes to what you said, particularly around energy. I think people confuse time and energy. You can invest a little time and very focused, dedicated energy and get a greater result. I absolutely believe that your results are a function of energy, not necessarily a function of time, right? And what I find fascinating too is, like you had mentioned, people kind of putting a hobby effort in and getting a hobby result. I do think that there are folks who pursue personal development. I'm putting that in air quotes for those of you who can't see me. Pursue personal development under the guise of, hey, everybody else is doing it. It might help me. It might not. So I'm going to go do some things, whatever the things are, read the books, listen to the audio podcast, whatever. And then they turn around and go, well, it didn't work. Because to your point, they kind of went through the motions and made a hobby out of it. And so there has to be a point at which I believe people reach a diminishing return. And then they go, okay, yeah, I haven't really put forth any effort. I need to look at this differently. Or it doesn't work. And I think a lot of people fall off on the it doesn't work. For you, what point did it go from, hey, I've made some investments, to now I'm really investing energy and it tipped? What happened, or what became aware for you to realize that your investment in it needed to be different to get the different result?
Yeah. I mean, for me, you know, I always knew that I wanted to, after I left the military, I always knew that I wanted to have my own business. You know, I've had a host of different employers in the past, one of them being obviously the government of Canada, which is one of the better employers that I had. But, you know, over the years, even, you know, as I was a private investigator, you know, there was always gaps where I had these other jobs and, you know, just either for fun or because I was in between careers or whatever. And I at some point along the way, You know, and I grew up in a household of entrepreneurs and business owners. You know, I never had role models who were employees of anybody else. And so somewhere along the way, I realized that I couldn't be, like, I couldn't go back to being an employee. I couldn't go back to, and nothing against anybody who is in that role. It's very, very appropriate for many, many people. That's kind of the standard in our society. But just for me, I knew I couldn't work a schedule. I couldn't take commands, you know, anymore from anybody else. I needed to do my own thing, you know, which was the norm for my family when we were growing up, right? Or when I was growing up. And so, you know, I remember there was one realization that I had, and it was after I had made the leap and I took my formal training in hypnosis and NLP, and, you know, I was getting into this coaching industry and getting into this, success and performance development industry. And I remember thinking, you know, there's a fair amount of risk in what I'm doing, because I was going to invest time. I was going to remove myself from the working world completely, like completely sever that link. And I remember thinking, you know, what if it goes wrong? Like, what if I'll have spent all this time and energy and money in training and building my company and blah, blah, blah. And what if it doesn't work out? And I kind of pictured myself in this like cliche, like, you know, living under a bridge and like and just like desolate, like everything couldn't possibly have gone worse. And just having that vision in my mind. And I remember thinking, you know, I would rather wind up there having known I did everything I could have possibly done and exhausted every avenue I could have possibly exhausted in order to try to build my independence, my freedom, my entrepreneurial venture, my company, and serve the world at the same time, and failed, rather than returning to a life that I didn't like and not knowing what would have happened if, you know, I hadn't given it my all. And so, you know, I remember it was actually quite an emotional, quite a visceral realization that I would rather that, having done everything I could have and failed, than not to really properly put in the effort, like for real. A lot of people put in the effort or try to start a business or try to transform their lives. But I meant for real, right? And that was a pivotal point for me. And even still now and then, I remember like sitting there and thinking that and thinking like, okay, that the choice has been made. I have to go all in. I heard this speech a couple of years ago. I think it was Eric Wuer, who is like a marketing guy. You might have heard of him.
Oh yeah, I know Eric.
You might have heard it, even the speech that he gave at some like network marketing convention like 30 years ago. I'm not in the network marketing world at all, but I heard the speech and I was blown away. And he said, you know, there's this one line he said, I'm going to have to paraphrase, but it's like, when a person decides congruently that they're going to do or die, they are going to get the result or they're going to die. And he said, it's like the universe and like, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so have a hasty conference and decide, well, he said he's going to do it or die. So we might as well let him do it. Right. And I think his ultimate point was like, when you are determined, you know, all the circumstances around you will conspire and come together to allow you success. Mm-hmm. And as, you know, out there as that might sound to a lot of people, me included, I have a very, you know, blue collar background. I'm the first person to admit that is exactly what happened in my life. When I decided I was all in making my dreams come true and building a company and serving people and doing it in a way that's empowering for everybody, it just became easy, you know, relatively. It's still work, but it just started to happen.
I love that you said that. There's a whole lot of reasons why. The first reason is one of the things that I talk about all the time is that the universe wants whatever you say. Whatever you say, the universe wants to give that to you. So if you speak crap, the universe is like, well, I don't know any difference. So I'll bring you crap, right? But I absolutely believe in what you're saying because I've experienced it as well. When a decision is made in my life that this is what's going to happen, and my energy goes that way, and my thoughts go that way, and my actions go that way, everything seems to conspire to make that happen. And you're right. There are a lot of people who go, yeah, whatever. They roll their eyes. Well, have you tried it? If you try it one time, I promise you, you may not be aware of everything that's conspiring to help you, but there are so many things working in your favor. And to your point as well, it doesn't mean that it's not difficult. It doesn't mean it's all rainbows and unicorns every freaking day, right? And I think the other thing people have a misperception about is once that decision is made and they've put that in motion, that there's never going to be fear. There's never going to be doubt. There's never going to be resistance. There's never going to be these things. And that's not true. And I believe a lot of the work that you do is actually helping that specific issue with people. So talk a little bit about how, once you make a decision, there are things that come up. There are challenges. There's resistance. There's doubt. There's fear. Talk a little bit about how you overcome that and continue to do that, and how you help clients do the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think when people get into this world, like, they eventually become this Rolodex of like the exact answer to each thing. And I have all these quotes that come up in my mind with every conceivable challenge, you know, and the answer to your question is, you know, the challenges don't get easier. We get better. Right. Mm-hmm. You've probably heard that before. A lot of your audience has probably heard that before. And it's true. Right. And here's the thing, it's all relative. You know, the more money you make, the more success you see, the more followers you have, the more lives you change, the bigger the challenges get. Mm-hmm. Right. But by that point, you've grown too. Right. The bigger the expenses get. But by that point, your revenue has grown too. And so on and so on. And so, I mean, a big part of overcoming the challenges is understanding. Right? Mm. I think Bob Proctor says, you know, and that's he's a polarizing guy for some people, but Bob Proctor says, you know, the only problem a person can have is ignorance. The only problem a person can ever have is ignorance. And I believe what he means by that is, you know, anytime you have a challenge come into your path or you don't know how to get what you want, really the problem is you just don't know how. You just don't know how. You don't know how to circumvent this challenge, or you don't yet know what you need to do. And that's a pivotal point. That is a very pivotal point when people come to that sort of crossroad, because the normal average person will turn around and go home. Mm-hmm. The small, small, small percentage of people who are, you know, married to their goal, determined, and, you know, and they are irrefutably going to reach their goal, will pull out the stops and will hack away until they get the solution, until they figure it out, until they're no longer ignorant of what they need to do and move forward. So a big part of, you know, pushing through challenges is the understanding. And, you know, a big part of that is really installing at our subconscious level that there always is a solution, you know, mm-hmm. that there always is a way through. And it's a very different beast to just say that and regurgitate it, and to actually congruently believe it throughout your neurology, both at the conscious and unconscious level. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's kind of one of the spots where the tools that I use come in, the hypnosis and the NLP, is because, you know, it's easy to decide and verbalize, okay, I can do it. It's a different thing to go in and untie the knots that are tied at the subconscious level, to go in and remove, you know, the counter beliefs, the what ifs that are constantly running in the background that create anxiety and doubt in a person as they're moving, you know, in the direction of a goal. Mm-hmm. Does that kind of answer the question?
It does. It does. Yeah. And you know, we've talked in the community actually not long ago about getting comfortable with the unknown. Like what you're saying is essentially, in the way I described it to people previously, was whatever you're experiencing, the resistance that you're experiencing, you don't yet know, to your point, whether it's telling you to stop, whether it's telling you to change directions, whether it's telling you have a lesson to learn, whether it's telling you, hey, you're good, but it's just going to be hard for a little bit. And getting comfortable with not knowing what that answer is, but to your point, knowing there is an answer, I think is what creates hope for people. And I think sometimes people look at hope as an example, as having the answer. Well, I want to change the word. It's having an answer, knowing there is an answer, even though you don't know what it is. That's what creates faith. That's what creates hope. And I think that's something that's extraordinary for people to learn. How do you get people more comfortable? I know you said undoing some of the programming, but how do you get more people more comfortable with the discomfort of the unknown? You know, like you said, you have to get to a place to overcome the ignorance, create awareness. But how do you get people just to that place where they're uncomfortable with the fact that I don't really even know what I'm supposed to do right now, you know, in getting that awareness and getting more comfortable?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to be a different process, and it's going to be a different, you know, ball game for every single individual, right? Presumably, if somebody's listening to this podcast, or presumably if somebody's, you know, coming to take one of my courses or whatever, they have a goal that they want to achieve that they've not yet achieved, right? And generally, the rule of thumb is if there's something out there that you want, if you have a goal and you haven't got it yet, probably there's some kind of limiting programming or limiting belief operating under the surface. Otherwise, you would have already done it. Mm-hmm. If your goal is to go out, you know, and serve 1,000 people and empower them, and it's, you know, you've been chugging along and it hasn't happened yet, then why not? And if it, you know, and if it had happened, then we wouldn't be having the conversation, right? And so, I mean, step one is figuring out, you know, a lot of people think it's like, what do I need to do to get the results? When a lot of times it's, what do I need to stop doing? What do I need to stop letting, you know, hold me back? What is the old way of thinking that is determining my results that I need to release, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, step one, either whether a person's, you know, going it on their own or working with a practitioner or working with a coach or whatever, is figure out, like, why haven't you done what you want to do yet? Why not? What's standing in the way? I mean, the answer 99 times out of 100 is nothing. And it's just the person's own programming that, you know, or some, you know, perceived limitation, which can be very real for people, right? Which can be very real. So step one, you know, figure out why not. Figure out what's the limiting patterns? What's the ignorance that's in place potentially? And then, you know, really in terms of moving forward, a big part of it is just installing the confidence and the awareness that, you know, I love metaphors, you know, you don't need to see the top of the staircase to take the first step or the second step or the third step, right? Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in military training, I joined the military at the, you know, for a soldier, for an entry-level soldier, I joined at the ripe old age of 28 years old. I was 10 years older. I was 10 years older than the average recruit in my training classes. And we saw, and you know, military basic training or basic military qualification, as it's called in Canada, is hard. It's hard and it's very physical. And so, you know, we saw a quit rate or a fail rate of around 40%. Wow. in my basic class. But me, the old guy on the course, I made it through, right? I was there on graduation day. Why? When there were so many people who physically were more capable than me, had more energy, had less injuries. I was a little bit overweight when I went into the training, you know, and there was people who were younger and stronger than me dropping out or not being successful. And it came down to beliefs. I mean, what else could it be? Mm-hmm. What else could it be? You know?
Yeah.
I believed I could do it. I had the benefit of life experience.
Yeah. Right?
And some of those younger folks, you know, bless them. I hope they're doing well. I hope they, you know, I'm sure it was the right thing for them to do, but they just didn't have the corresponding neurology, corresponding beliefs to get through to the end. And it was very clearly reflected in the results that they achieved. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, to digress a little bit, it's all about taking control of what's happening in here if you want to take control of what's happening out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he's pointing to his brain when he said what's happening in here to what's going on out there. Yes. And
I keep forgetting that we're you and I are on video, but the audience will not be.
That's right. We are on. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And there's like 15 things that came to mind as you were talking that I wanted to ask. And all of a sudden I can't think of any of them. The one thing I did, and we're switching gears just a little bit. The one thing I did want to ask you about is, well, let me back up. So the Encourage Project really is about showing people what's possible. And one of the things that I love about your story, as I've mentioned before, was the transition of applying previous experiences in new ways. I love that. And in showing people what's possible, it's also important to me to show people what are the habits, what are the things that these people do in addition to having achieved the things. So talk a little bit about what kinds of habits have you put in place or what rituals have you put in place, whether they're daily or weekly or monthly, that help you maintain focus or focus your energy or keep yourself in a space that allows you to continue to take advantage of opportunity and those kinds of things. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the biggest things that I've learned and one of the biggest things that I try to apply on a daily basis, and I know this has created massive results for me, I don't know if I made this saying up or if it sank into my mind years ago and I've stolen it from somebody who I fail to credit every time I say it. But there's this expression, anything is better than nothing. Anything is better than nothing. The tiniest little bitty step in the direction of achieving your goal is better than not doing anything at all. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't get that. They think, well, I don't have time today to put down an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours to build my business. I don't have time today to create this content. I don't have time, blah, blah, blah. And so, and you know, they do nothing. So they do nothing. And then it happens every day for many days in a row. Whereas, you know, had you taken 1 minute to sit down and do something, you know, just a little bit measurable in the direction of your goals, first of all, there's two things that might happen. First of all, you might do that and you'll have done something. And if you do that consistently over time, you know, those little, you know, beans turn into a mountain of beans, right? The other thing that happens, you know, is that once you start with the intent of doing the tiniest little bitty thing, all of a sudden you're working. And all of a sudden, sometimes 1 minute becomes 5 minutes, becomes 10 minutes. And before you know it, you forgot to watch Netflix for an hour today. And instead you built your dream for an hour today. Right. So the saying there is anything is better than nothing. Anything is better than nothing when it comes to building our goals, helping other people, you know, taking real action in the direction of our goals. So that's one big tip. That's one thing that has made a massive difference in my life. The other thing I will say, you know, and this comes a little bit from the world of neuro-linguistic programming, is what's called having too many loops open. Having too many loops open, you know, or to use a metaphor from, you know, from the internet age, is having too many tabs open. People tend to like start something, have all these like 100 different ongoing projects, you know, some of them significant, some not. I need to vacuum, I need to go to haircut, I need to build my business, I need to send in these forms, I need to figure out the taxes, blah, blah, blah. And what all of these things are is it's called open loops in our mind. And even when you're not actively thinking about these, you know, unresolved, uncompleted tasks that you need to do, they're consuming energy. You're hemorrhaging energy from your unconscious mind because there needs to be a little part of your neurology tracking that at all times. And so another big tip is, you know, first of all, you know, become aware of this and then start either getting stuff done. You know, and again, anything is better than nothing. Get it done crudely rather than not at all, or decide you're not going to do it. Decide you're not going to do it and release it to never be to be done. Somebody owes you $5 from Subway from, you know, 3 years ago. Either ask them for the money or decide you're never getting it back and forget that.
Right.
And that's a small, silly example, but same goes with, you know, bigger stuff too, because the fewer plates you have spinning in the air, the more you can focus on each. So there's a couple of my big, you know, tips for, you know, moving forward in the direction of our goals, I would say.
I like that. I think what I see with clients and folks oftentimes is perfection is what steals that anything is better than nothing. You know, if I can't do it perfectly, I'm not even going to invest time in it. And that's kind of like if you're driving your car and you have a flat tire, that's like saying, oh, hell, I'm just going to slash the other three. I mean, I have one, let's just slash them all. I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever. And I love what you said about anything is better than nothing, because I do believe for lots of different reasons, whether it's cultural, whether it's social media, there's all kinds of things that whether we realize it or not, we're putting this perfectionist expectation on what we do. Nobody cares. Honestly, no one is thinking about us as much as we think they are. And like you said, make a step. A step is better than nothing. I love that. Anything is better than nothing. So what about you personally? So I'm a huge proponent of a morning routine. So like journaling and gratitude and meditation and all the things. Do you have something like that that supports you on a daily basis? Are you a habit kind of person in your morning or evening? Is there a routine or something that you do?
Yeah, definitely there is. You know, I am a very much a night person who's forcing myself to live the life of a morning person. Very much one of those people.
Started when I was exact opposites.
Yeah. We are exact opposites. Cool. You know, but I'm up you know, on a given day, anywhere between 4:30 and 7:30, I'm up, right? I like to start working and get stuff done while everybody in the world is still asleep. That's yeah. what I like to say. And so, you know, one of the big things I do is, you know, I like to do a night before list, right? This is a lot of people advocate this and it really, really does work. The night before, you know, sit down, I have a little journal, I have it next to me right now, actually. What do I need to get done tomorrow? And I draw little check boxes and I have a pen and I make sure to do it by hand on real paper. It doesn't make a difference. And then the following day, you know, I just try to check off as many of the boxes as I can. Sometimes I do all of them. Sometimes I do none of them. Something comes up, whatever. Mm-hmm. Remember, perfection is not required here, folks. Anything's better than nothing.
Right.
So big thing is that night before to-do list and then going through it during the day. In terms of success habits, you know, meditation is great, I'm sure, you know, but everybody's kind of aware of that now. And I think, you know, the social consciousness is that we either do it or we don't. Everybody knows it's good for us. We either do it or we don't. I recommend you do, at least for, again, anything is better than nothing. 2 minutes of meditation each morning is better than zero. Meditation, and then just getting something, anything productive done as the first thing that you do during the day. Getting something, anything productive, however small, because that will quickly begin to set the tone for your days. That will quickly begin to set the tone for your days. So before you move on to cruising Reddit and you know, all the other stuff and making the kids lunches and whatever people need to do, do that one thing that is building your dream, that's building your big goal, right? Because if you leave it for the end of the day, it doesn't happen.
Really. I do the make the bed thing. That is a non-negotiable. Yeah. Before I leave my bedroom. And it's just like, I get to do this little happy dance first thing in the morning, you know, cause I get up at 4 and I have my whole list of stuff that I do, and making the bed, if that's done, I'm like, one win. Nothing can get me now.
Yeah. There's that whole book and that whole, have you seen
yes,
that book?
Yes. Make your bed. The Rear Admiral who wrote that book. And
that's it. Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I could remember his name. Yes.
I can't remember his name either, but he did that commencement speech and it was so popular that he wrote a whole book about it. Yeah. Yes. But he's right. He's right. You know, that first productive act in your morning sets the tone for your day.
I love that. Talk a little bit about what role, if any role, gratitude has played in your success and in your journey so far.
Gratitude is very important. Very, very important. You know, different people attribute it to different things, you know, either energetically or otherwise. But I think gratitude is one of the easiest, and I'm all about easy. It's one of the easiest ways to keep a positive mindset. And, you know, the more positive your thoughts are, the more positive your behavior is, and the better your results are in life. And gratitude is, you know, and to me just means simply reflecting on what's going well and what's going right and what do we have to be happy about. It serves to program your mind in a positive direction, right? So, you know, one of the things that I'm currently doing, and I can't say I've been doing this my whole life or I'm going to do it my whole life, is, but every day I'll try to actually, I have a file on my computer, I'll try to write down, externalize a couple of things that I'm grateful for. And it could be very simple. It could be, you know, some big celebration. But I think gratitude, you know, gratitude hasn't reached the level of prevalence and understanding that meditation has yet. And I think it should, because I believe it's as important to focus on what you like, because, you know, I think you might have even said this earlier, where, you know, where focus goes, energy flows. So if you focus on the good stuff, you'll get more of the good stuff.
Yes.
And if you focus otherwise, you'll get otherwise.
Right? Yes. Yeah. I did a whole episode on that. That's called My Dating Project, is what that episode was called.
Oh, cool. I'll have to check that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't focus on the crap, people. That's what will come your way. So the other thing that I always ask a lot about too, and before I say that, I absolutely am a proponent of gratitude. And I do think people have a misconception that gratitude has to be this big ceremonious thing and it's got to be big and worldly and all that stuff. No, there are days when I am grateful that I have running water. There are days when I'm grateful, you know, that I woke up, because that's important. And I think, like you said, getting it external to us helps us create some objectivity and put our whole experience into context. Because I know I can feel overwhelmed sometimes. I got this to do and this to do. And oh my gosh, I'm so stressed or whatever. And when I take that time every single day to sit in reflection and think about what are the things that are really great in my life, or even the things that are just good. Good is okay too. What are the things that exist that I didn't have before? That's great too. You know, I have a beautiful home. I didn't have that for a long time. That's something to be super grateful for. As an example, when I have done that consistently, I find that I'm better able to handle problems. I'm better able to keep things in perspective, and I create a more optimistic mindset. And I am sensitive to this notion of toxic positivity. So let me be clear with folks. We're not talking about just being positive to be positive. We're talking about really creating optimism over time, which is something that helps propel us through things that are really challenging. And we talked about resistance. The last thing that I ask people about is celebration. So how do you celebrate, or do you celebrate progress or wins or things like that on your journey?
Yeah. Progress and wins and things like, that is something that I've had to kind of develop personally. That is something that for me never really came naturally. I'm one of those people where it's like looking forward to a goal, looking forward to a goal, looking forward to a goal, achieve the goal. And then my instinct is, what's the next goal? immediately forget all the progress that has been made. Okay, now what? Right? Now where do we go from here? Right. But, you know, I kind of live and breathe, you know, performance mindset these days. It is my business. So I've come into the awareness that we really do need to celebrate the wins. We really do need to celebrate the progress. So for me, you know, I'm a big fan of gourmet food. So when I have a win, I might, you know, go out and invest in some kind of, you know, experiential dining that I wouldn't otherwise, it wouldn't normally be a day-to-day thing. I'm also a collector of watches. I really like wristwatches.
Me too.
I took mine off today so I wouldn't be banging on the desk with it and making interference, but I have it here, my current pick. So, you know, when things go really well in business or whatever, or, you know, I'm celebrating a win, I might go online and do like a couple of days of research on different watches and like pick the perfect one. And then like, you know, have a week or two of like anticipation before it arrives in the courier or whatever. So yeah, those are, you know, a couple of simple ways. I used to have this image in my mind of having like a little tiny miniature refrigerator on my desk with a bottle of champagne in it. Mm-hmm. And whenever I hit a landmark goal, I would like pop it open, you know, in the middle of the day and have like one glass. And I haven't done that. I don't know that I won't. Perhaps that's something that'll happen.
I love that idea. I love that. And the watch thing, I am the same way. Every big promotion, I did it for when I was in the corporate space. Whenever I got a big job that I was going for, a big promotion, I would buy a watch. And so, So it's cool to kind of look at that. Oh, I remember when I achieved that, you know, and they don't have to be big. I'm a sticker person too. I have a paper calendar in my office that when I do certain things, I'll get like a happy face sticker for this, or I'll get a star for this. And I don't know, it feels good. It doesn't have to be big, but yeah, celebration. I'm glad that you celebrate. That makes me happy. Most of the guests struggle, just like you kind of said that. So one of the things I bring awareness to is the need for celebration. So I love that. Yeah. So on that celebratory note, how can folks learn more about you and get in touch with you and your work?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the best way to be in touch with me and to see what I'm all about currently is the same way that you, Amy, found me, actually, is Instagram. I've got the best stuff is on Instagram. I'm Ryan Montes, NLP, Ryan Montes, spelled just the way it sounds, NLP on Instagram. In case it wasn't clear, because it's not always clear, what I do is I teach people how to use hypnosis and NLP with their clients. So most of my students are coaches or entrepreneurs or people who serve other people or want to. And, you know, I put these fabulous tools of NLP and hypnosis in your hands. And people tend to experience a nice transformation just in learning the tools, because we use them as we learn them. That's what I do. I offer professional designation training in that. So at Ryan Montes NLP on Instagram, I've got a new masterclass. It's free. It's at ryanmontesnlp.com. You can check that out. It's about an hour. It's super cool. And if you have, you know, I'm a very reachable person. Sometimes it blows people away. Like Amy, you know, one message was all it took and here we are, right? If you have questions about stuff, just send me a message on Instagram. You know, I'm pretty good about getting back to people.
Awesome. Well, thank you so, so much for being here today. This has been really fun and I'm sure I'm going to have more questions. So
Anytime you have questions, send me a voice memo, send me an instant message, whatever. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be here. This has been a lot of fun. I admire your skill and professionalism in creating your podcast.
Thank you.
You know, I have to say I've been interviewed many times by many people, you know, and it's always a delight when somebody is really on point with, you know, the technology and brilliant questions, and you just make it easy and fun. So thank you for that. Oh,
thank you.
You know, I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're most welcome.
Oh, you guys, what a great, great guest today. Oh my gosh. You know, you've got work now. So as you wrap up today's episode and you get ready to hit stop, what action can you take today? And I want to go back to the beginning of today's conversation. What is one way you can model excellence? Think about that. Just pick one thing, just one thing. And like Ryan said, anything is better than nothing. What's one step you can take towards modeling excellence today? And then as you move into reflection, you know, the ahas, the oh no's and the yippees, the what did you learn? The ahas and the oh no's are, or what questions do you have or what more information do you need? And the yippees are what can you celebrate? Think about in reflection today, is there something that might be holding you back? Something that you should consider stopping doing? You know, we're in a society that tells us to do more, be more, go more, grind more, but no one often says, hey, there might be something you should stop doing. So consider that today in reflection. Let's continue the conversation. Like I said at the beginning, you can go to theencourageproject.com and there's a button there that says, say hello, send me a note. I love hearing from you. And just like Ryan, you can find us on Instagram at @the_encourage_project. And finally, you can always send me a note to hello@theencourageproject.com. That's it for this edition, friends. I hope you're doing well. Be safe, be well, and shine.